name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the parable given by our Lord Jesus Christ in today's Gospel, a certain man planned to host a grand banquet and invited many to attend. This was to be a great feast, but this man was sorely disappointed when so many that had received his invitation immediately made excuses as to why they could not come. And all of their excuses were centered in their pursuit of the things of this world. In Jewish tradition, the Messianic kingdom was often referred to as a feast. This parable makes reference to that great and eternal feast of the marriage of our human nature to the incarnate Son of God. That is what the fast of the Nativity or Advent and the feast of the Nativity is all about. God having become man, still remaining God, but taking on human flesh and blood for our salvation. It seems that when an individual responds to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is precisely what the real invitation is about, by making lame excuses that indicate a preference for the concerns of this world over eternal life in God's kingdom, that such a person has no faith and is an unbeliever. And to apply such a person to today's parable, we would have to say that that person has declined the invitation offered by God to everyone. The three categories of excuses that were given were a farm, 5 yoke of oxen, and a wife. When the man was told by his servants that the aforementioned virtues were to be preoccupied, the aforementioned invitees were too preoccupied to come to his feast, he was angry and sent his servants to all places to invite the poor, the maimed, the crippled, and the blind. In this parable, the man is God the Father. The servant is the Son of Jesus, is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who emptied himself and became man for our salvation for all eternity. Those who were first invited were the Jews, particularly the rulers of the Jews. Those who were poor and destitute were the Gentiles, which would include most of us. The Great Supper itself is that unending feast that our Lord has prepared for us in his kingdom, and over which he will preside. Now, as we look at the excuses that were offered for not accepting the invitation, we can see clearly that the referenced farm, the 5 yoke of oxen, and wives are not evil unto themselves. I know you wives are relieved to hear that. The evil associated with them in this case stems from their having taken a place of higher priority in the lives of those who were invited to the great feast itself. The Jews rejected the invitation because their hearts had been hardened by replacing God with other priorities. This can happen to anybody. It's not limited just to Jews. And because of this, the Lord said, "The kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and given to another." He extended the invitation first to the Jews, his chosen people. Some did respond, but most did not. He then invited all nations to the great feast, which is salvation in the eternal kingdom of God, where God is with his people forever, and where every suffering, malady, and injustice are no more. We are promised that he himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Having lived a life in a fallen world, having experienced to some degree the sufferings of Christ, he will comfort us, and he will comfort us in this life too, before that even comes. But we must understand that this invitation to us demands a response on our part. From the depth of our soul, it must come. Salvation is not an entitlement to us, and more than it, any more than it was to the Jews, who had the prophets, they had the Mosaic law, they had the many evidences of God's presence with them, and yet they still refused to respond to the invitation. Although they had been God's people, they ceased to be so. To be sure, the Master desires and will persist with the invitations to any and all until his house is full, we are told today. Furthermore, that banquet will take place. Whether they be Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, seemly or unseemly, this great banquet, this great feast, this union of God to his greatest creation, man, will take place. He could demand and coerce each of us to be there, but that is not his way. Does the Master love those who make excuses not to attend? Most certainly so. But he respects our capacity to choose. He has given us free will. And whether or not we will submit to his love and obey him is up to us. But he will be united to his bride, the church. Nothing will stop that. So what would constitute the acceptance of this invitation? In today's epistle, we read in 2 Timothy 1:8, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." I guess that might be a good starting point. How easily it is to become more concerned with what men think about us than what God thinks about us. "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." So we are called, this invitation, to share the sufferings of Christ, because that is one of the most important ways that we come to know him intimately. And in verse 12, we read also, "For this reason I also suffer these things." It's not that we just enjoy suffering, you know. We're not crazy. We're not masochistic. We don't just enjoy hurting. But we live in a fallen world, and the devil loves to bring pain on us. God lets that happen, but he turns it on the evil one, because even our pain can be redemptive. Even our pain can bring us back to God. So he says in verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." I know whom I have believed. Trust, faith, belief, all of these things, these lofty terms, these virtues, they have to be put into play in our lives on a daily basis. So, my dear friends, let us boldly entrust our lives to our Lord Jesus. Let us glorify him for all of his blessings, being thankful always for his many blessings. Let us love him and look with faith to the day when we shall see him face to face. Let us examine ourselves to see if we have allowed anything to become more important than God himself. From the depth of our heart, we must desire to be with him, and anything that stands in the way of this, we should hate and banish from our life, or at least put it in its proper place behind God. St. Athanasius once wrote that God became man that man might become God, that we might become like God. We can't become God per se, but we are called to become like Him, to become holy. That is what we are called to. As we approach the Feast of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus, if we desire to put Christ back into Christmas, we must first make sure that He is in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.